Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we're getting into a discussion about the place and state of small businesses in South Africa. We've often heard on many a platform, from government to the private sector, that small businesses are the engine of the economy. This is not rhetoric that's only in South Africa. We hear this in many other parts of the world, and when one looks at the economic makeup of many countries, you will see that small businesses make up a large proportion of employers outside of government. And in a lot of African contexts especially, this tends to be the case, especially where you have more informalized economies, or where you have a formal sector that is somewhat smaller. But what is the right model around these small businesses? Many people have offered their take, and for today we're joined by the team from Exos, that is Mbulelo Singapi, as well as Manfred Hintermeyer, who are going to help us to understand some of the work that they've been doing around this, and the issue around cooperative business, and how that could possibly be one of the possible drivers to help to push the small business sector forward. Gentlemen, greetings to you today.
Good afternoon.
Good day, Mudiwa.
All right. Let's begin, let's begin here, Mbulelo. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of insight. We always like to know and understand, who we're talking to. I've tried my level best to, let people understand what it is that you guys are doing, but maybe you could give us some insight, Exos itself, a little bit around that, and then maybe just an intro into the idea around cooperatives when it comes to small business.
Thank you very much, Mudiwe. My name is Mbulelo Singapi. I'm based in Port Elizabeth. I have an experience, in SME development. Myself, Zona, Manfred, as well as Nono, we came together, and Exos was born out of that, out of the individual experience with regard to SME development. Out of that, we sat down and crafted a way of assisting our own SMEs in the country. We, as the people on the ground, we know what is going on with regard to SME development. We have been around now 30 years of democracy. We don't seem to see, progressive SMEs, let alone cooperatives. A company will get, registered at CIPC. In the next 2-3 years, the company will fade away. The opportunities of funding on its own are a mission in this country. We have been observing this, trend for quite some time. And it has for quite a long time. Hence, myself and my team, we came together and we forged, relations around cooperative development. And that was born of Exos. We are a cooperative development consultant company based in South Africa. That is there. That is willing to assist the SMEs that are coming up. We have been in communication with different communities, especially government departments around the concept. And we seem to be not winning with regard to them, to that. However, we are forging ahead, especially with small business development department, because that is the department that resonates very, very well with what we are doing. Thank you very much.
Manfred, I'm gonna bring you in here, and I'm gonna tell you a little bit of a story, and then you can tell me whether or not it is relevant. Given what Bulelo has just, spoken about, the fact that you guys are a consultancy that is focused, specifically on small business development and, looking at cooperatives as a way forward. I had opportunity a couple of years ago to visit some small businesses in Umlazi, which is probably one of the biggest townships in South Africa. This is in KwaZulu-Natal. And at the time, we were visiting spaza shop owners that have come together. They call it a stock fell, amongst the spaza shop owners. And they basically work together to pool their money together so that they can negotiate as a collective when it comes to, the suppliers for, let's say, the soft drinks that they're selling in their spaza shops, bread, cheese, all of these things. And in certain instances, they're getting favorable deals because, they're moving as this collective. And obviously, like any other stock fell, there tends to be what we typically know about stock fells. There tends to be a pulling together of resources. Maybe one business wants to buy, wants to upgrade, the type of spaza shop that they have, computer systems, fridges that they might have in there. Are these the cooperatives? Is this the model that we are talking about, or is it perhaps a little bit more technical than I'm led to believe?
In principle, that's the idea. That's the idea of a cooperative: pooling the resources, the limited resources together of small business, in order to elevate it to the next level, to the secondary or even tertiary level. Secondary level meaning procurement, meaning market access, meaning marketing, which the small spaza shop doesn't have the resources for. But the tertiary level might be the branding. That is something which most small business owners don't even consider, but which is very important. If you don't have a name for something, it doesn't exist for you. So all these secondary and tertiary responsibilities of business, of small business, can be pulled together. And the basic idea behind it is to localize business, to pool the efforts together, and to make it stronger by standing on more legs than just one. So what the example that you are that you have given is definitely something which is a serious example for a cooperative. I can give you an example from the European side. I'm currently residing in Europe, in Munich, in Germany. And in this environment, we have a consumer cooperative, which evolved over decades or even centuries from exactly these buzzer shops. You can compare them. We call them Tante Emma Laden or colonial shops. And these shops were basically in all the little townships, in all the little villages. They had one or two of these shops. And these shops eventually pulled their efforts together and they formed a company or a cooperative called Edeka. Edeka is one of the biggest retailers in Europe, possibly worldwide, in the meantime. And out of these spaza shops, and Edeka is a cooperative, a consumer cooperative that has formed their own supply industry. They have supported agricultural cooperatives and so forth. We are talking about a very successful model. And just to give you an idea in terms of size of turnover, Edeka, I'm not aware of the latest figures, but in size, we are talking about a cooperative that has the size of at least 20 folds of Pick and Pay. So this is a good example for the movement that you have described in Umlazi. I think this is the way to go, and this is also what we are promoting. But there is a long way to go. There are definitely also some technical issues, some administrative issues, but they can all be tackled if we know exactly where we want to go to. And on a different note, I just wanted to also bring in my personal experience, maybe. I have built up a small company in Munich for 20 years to a corporate business of 500 employees. And by doing so, I was supported and funded by cooperative banks. Cooperative banks are funding about 80% of small businesses here in Europe, in Central or Continental Europe. So also my personal background was highly dependent on cooperative development and cooperative input. So that is basically one of the secret factors of economic success in continental European economies like the Netherlands, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Basically, these rich economies, they are to a large extent based on cooperative association.
It really does sound like, it's an interesting model. And what I like the best is the fact that there are data points. There's points that we can actually point at that actually show the power of, something like this, both in the local context and also, the European examples that you're giving us. And I like the fact that at least some of the formality that you're talking about around, cooperatives in Europe and the type of infrastructure that is available to that. Mbulelo, very quickly here, before we get into where the stumbling blocks are in South Africa, would we not say that the way that, as a way to help people to understand just how powerful this type of model is, could we not venture? Because when I was just doing my research around this, I was really struck by how much all of this, sounds quite a lot like the taxi industry in South Africa. There's a lot of, things that people say and a lot of opinions about the taxi industry. But if one thinks about how much taxi operators move in unison, according to their what we call associations, and the type of market power that those structures have locally, would we not say that that is an example of how powerful cooperatives could be? I'm just thinking of a parallel for the example that Manfred just gave us, the one that he was giving us, the one that's in Germany.
Yes, Mudiwe, absolutely yes. Remember, the taxi guys have been there for quite some time. And the taxi guys, they have, organized themselves out of their own initiative. They've been successful in doing that. Remember, not only that, you get guys, the small-scale farming guys, the small-scale mining guys, that are similar. But with regard to those two examples, they haven't organized themselves properly, just like the taxi guys. And as I'm talking to you now, I have been inundated with calls from the farming community, from the small mining guys, to say that, look, we need assistance with regard to your concept, with regard to a cooperative governance. We do not know how to approach government. We do not know how to start the whole thing. And you guys, you've got expertise of how to go about the know-how. So I agree, yes, the taxi guys have taken the initiative far more forward than other sectors, in as much as some of them, they are not formally formed, but most of them are, and they are so successful, in as much that further to that, you will get guys who are selling tires, who are selling taxi parts, who are selling all other small taxi parts that are gaining out of these tax formations. So yes, I agree. Part is very, very much successful, especially the taxi guys, but other industries needs to be looked at as well.
All right. I think we're at a good point in the conversation, and I'm going to pose this one to both of you. And I'll just, since Mbulelo, you already chatting, you can start here, and then we'll hear from Manfred to say, in the South African context, this is a model that clearly works. And given some of the examples we've already spoken about, we've spoken about the spaza shops, we've spoken about, you know, how far advanced the taxi guys have gone and how much of a model that has worked. You've also let us know that in the farming aspect, there's appetite for people to club their efforts together like this. Where is the disconnect? Right. How is this?
Yes, maybe I can give you a bit of my point of view here, seeing it also as an outsider, but I have lived in South Africa for 20 years so far. I would say South Africa in the old dispensation, in inverted commas, up till 1994, used to have very successful cooperatives. We are talking about KWV, we are talking about NWK, we are talking about Foxcars. We are talking about very successful companies that were formed as primary cooperatives. And these cooperatives were privatized as private companies in order to close the access to only a limited group of people. So this is definitely a legacy that is coming out of the history of South Africa and the history of the South African economy. So for me, it wouldn't make sense that you close the access. A good example for a successful cooperative up till now, which has been founded somewhere in the 1940s, is NCT, the wood chippers cooperative. It's a primary cooperative, which has never closed the doors. And by default, it became majority black-owned association or cooperative. It's quite a good example that this model could have worked for South Africa on a broader scale, but obviously it was not intended to. And by the fathers of the independence of South Africa. So we basically need to reinvent the wheel in South Africa in order to get back to the roots of this economy. So we are not saying that this is something unknown for the South African economy. It is something pretty well known, but just limited to a limited number of businesses and a limited number of people. So that is one of the issues, seeing it as an outsider.
If I may add, and what I can say with regard to that is that I think we need a political will. We need a political, serious political will here. Because, you know, after it's been now 6-7 months, we have been engaging, you know, different departments of government around the concept. And each and every department that we're engaging around these issues, we're getting stumbling blocks, we're getting all sorts of excuses. Yet we are 30 years now in democracy, and nothing seem, you know, we don't seem to be seeing, you know, our people getting out of poverty in terms of SME development after 30 years of ANC government. I do not know, probably after this government of national unity, there might be something that, you know, concrete that might come out. But I'm telling you now, we have engaged, I don't know, probably 9-10 different departments around the concept, but we seem to be having stumbling blocks. So the political will needs to be, you know, we don't need to be playing games here. People are suffering on the ground.
Maybe just as a, what you call this, Manfred, sorry to cut you off. I'm just... curious for a moment. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate right now to say, do we need government to move forward with something like this? And I'm only asking that because, like you said earlier on, there's been so much progress that has been made, let's say, by your taxi operators. Manfred was also then giving us examples of some of the successful co-ops in South Africa that have, and some of them been there for decades. So is it not incumbent on industry players themselves to say, hey guys, let's just take what's working in the other industries, adapt it to us, because obviously it's not cut and paste, but let's at least have our own effort. And you even see it in from a corporate point of view. You know, the fact that you even have employer associations that go out and lobby, or at least that sit and discuss what's happening in whatever their sector is, and, you know, try to find their own way forward. And you see, by the time they start engaging with government on certain issues, you can tell that there's been an engagement, a coming together. Yeah.
May I just come in here? Actually, you are touching a very important point, because one of the principles of cooperatives is self-reliance. And just to give you an idea, in terms of the banking industry, the only banks that didn't have to be bailed out in Europe and the US in 2008 under the financial crisis were the cooperative banks. They didn't take 1 cent of public money. That's a good example how self-reliant the cooperative sector could be. The issue that I see in South Africa is that in 1994, with the political changes, basically these cooperatives and the Cooperative Act was designed for welfare and non-profit or not-for-profit organizations. Actually, just to give you an example, in the Cooperative Act, it was not designed for juristic persons to be a member in a cooperative. So how can companies become members in a cooperative if it's decided by legislation defined as a private organization, an organization of private individuals or natural persons? Only in 2013, the act was amended, and it took ages to get it gazetted in South Africa. So there was never the intention to make these cooperatives really powerful and to let them really develop in a decent way. The other thing is that there is very little knowledge of the cooperative governance and business model in the South African economy, because all the business schools, all the academic institutions are focusing on private business, public listed business. They are focusing on privately owned and self-enrichment, if I may say it in a very pointed way, institutions, and not in a communal or mutual way. So mutual business and mutual governance in business is pretty much unknown in South Africa. And that is exactly where Xsource as a company is playing in. We are basically promoting exactly the private approach, the self-reliance approach in business, in cooperative business. Our intention is to develop exactly this, or to redevelop this know-how that has been lost in 1994, and bring it forward and help the small business owners to form their own associations, to do it in their own way, in their own initiative, and not associating according to incubation programs from DSPD or from any of the public institutions like CIFA, CEDA, NEF, and so forth. They are actually superfluous in a thriving cooperative environment. And obviously also the legislation around cooperatives, may it be in the financial cooperatives or may it be in the general cooperatives, the legislation was drafted around the interests of corporate business.
Bulelo, anything to add, yeah?
Yes, indeed. If I may add, you know, in these strategies, it's nice, you know, to partner with government departments and, you know, in executing them. And when you do that, you know, it's going to be easy for that private company where you identify gaps in the policy of government and you approach that department and form partnership with. Now it's going to be easy now to go down, deep down to the communities. But unfortunately, for now, we haven't been in success with regard to that at all. We have asked for partnerships. We have asked for mutual...
Especially mandates.
We even say to them, we don't need money. All what we want is partnership or mandate, or they're working together. We can pool, you know, our own resources with regard to you know, operational cost and all that. We know most of these government departments, they do not have budgets, but we seem to be, you know, not getting anywhere with regard to that. So yeah, it is what it is, but we are still forging ahead. There are those that are willing to listen to us, and it's work in progress, but I'm telling you now, it's not easy.
If we were running I like to sometimes pose this analogy. If we were running a 100-meter race, you guys are obviously off the blocks and you are on your way, right? How much distance do you think you've covered?
We are still at the starting block.
And maybe you could also then help us to characterize right now what that level of engagement has looked like, and where is government when it comes to this? I think, Bulelo, you did say that it would be good and nice to partner with government where possible when it comes to something like this. But as far as you can see, right, where are we when it comes to that type of thing? Where are we? Like, if someone was to ask, okay, guys, as X-Source, where are you in terms of your engagements? You've told us the challenges. You've told us that you've been engaging since the last of the year, but like, where do we stand? Either of you here.
Bulelo, do you want to answer?
No, it's okay. You can take that one. I'll come after you.
I must say, I'm not so eager to get government involved because, as I said, the principles of cooperative governance are bottom-up approach. We are talking about association of small companies. When it comes to resources, to financial resources, as Mbulelo has already alluded to, we can draw our own resources. We get support also from external development funds, etc. But what we need in order to access these funds, we need to get a mandate from the South African stakeholders in the economy, may it be the financial sector, may it be the government, may it be administration, executive or legislation. We need a mandate in order to go forward, to bring this this kind of development to the attention of the outside world. And once we get this, it's like funding of government projects. You will never get a government project funded if you don't have a mandate by the people, by the three powers in the constitutional setup, may it be the executive, may it be the judiciary, or may it be the legislative or the executive. So this is exactly where we are playing in, and so far we didn't get much people listening to us. People are always making excuses in all these institutions, in all these stakeholders. They're making excuses for carrying on the way they have done the past 30 years. That is our biggest issue, that nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to verify the output. The stakeholders in South Africa, may it be on the public side or the private side, they are not questioning the output that they have got for the past 30 years. We had a discussion about the banking industry. We were talking to people in the banking industry, and these people, they were doubting that there is a problem in the South African economy. They're absolutely happy in the current situation. When I confronted them with the fact that we are talking about 37.6% unemployment and almost a 65% unemployment rate under youth, is this business as usual or going on like it was in the past? I can't see that. I mean, seeing it from the rest of the world, this is a disaster. And nobody questions it. That's the question. That's the question from my side to the South African stakeholders in the economy.
Mbulelo, before you speak, just a quick one on my side. I'm an economist, right? So one of the things that you learn when you study economics is that one of the baseline assumptions is that economic actors work within their own self-interest, right? So I tend to look at a lot of things when we are having discussions like this one that we're having. I tend to look at things from an incentive point of view. Mbulelo, you mentioned earlier on that right at the outset, you said there's no political will around this. And my question to you as you're answering is, what is the incentive for, I guess, the establishment to change how things have been, have been operating?
Look, I am 58 years old now. I have been in this country on the ground. I have been following certain strategies. I have been down to the townships. I have been where most people are. I have been to the upper levels, where you could see the difference. After the whole 58 years that I've been in this world, what you see on the ground under apartheid government and what you see now, there's legal change. There's legal in as far as SME development is concerned. I thought after 1994, we have voted for this government, things will change. Of course, you'll get one or two guys who come out, powerful. But the rest of them is business as usual. And it can't go on like this. We've got strategies that can change the situation, immediately. But there are policies that are there that are stumbling blocks in the development of our people. Look, we are having an appointment on the 9th of this month with the Deputy Minister of Small Business. I've written her a letter to say that this is who we are. This is what we're doing. We've engaged your department with your directors, but they don't seem to be, seeing the point. Can you please, Deputy Minister, listen to us? And she has since agreed. And on that meeting, we are going to pour our hearts out. Serious, because that is the ultimate level where we can talk to, the political wheels. So that's where we are.
May I also come in here?
Yes.
Motiva, as you have alluded to, you are an economist. And obviously you were trained in one of the business schools in the country, and you have learned the basics in business. These basics in business are designed for private inverted commas, enrichment. Individuals being the owners, the determining owners of companies, and they try to make as much money as they can. The question is the environment in South Africa livable for these people if the rest of the country is going down the drain? So my question is, how far into the future you are looking into from an economic point of view, and how far are you, or what are your returns on your investment as an entrepreneur, as an individual, as a member of the society? A good example, and there we are coming back to the cooperative governance model. The cooperative governance model doesn't allow appreciation of shares, of share value. The shares in the cooperative model are fixed by nominal value, and they are not tradable. And there is nobody who can determine the cooperative, because it's a basic democratic association, and the whole governance structure of a cooperative is much more democratic and much more complex than a privately run company that is run by a CEO and that is determined by the majority shareholder. So the return on investment is not in speculation on the share value. The return on investment in a cooperative is forwarding my own business, forwarding my own interests within that cooperative and within the industry or within the community. So the question is always, and by nature, by what I'm telling you now, is basically by nature, this means that the wealth distribution is built in the cooperative model. And South Africa, with a Gini factor of 0.65, which is the highest in the world, is the most unjust and imbalanced income factor in the world. So if anybody wants to change something, and I think this is now a mandate that the government should have by working on this and bringing this Gini factor down to 0.2, 0.3, like in developed economies. South Africa has the resources, it has the know-how, it has the people to get there. But if we are working on basically only private business and we don't have cooperatives or mutual business taking at least a certain share of the economy, then we will never get off this Gini factor. That is basically the benefit from an economic point of view. Of course, if I see it only for myself as an individual, a public listed company, majority shares in the listed company, and selling my shares at the high price and buying at the low price, that is the quickest way of making money. But a cooperative is not about the speculation, because the company doesn't get more capital to work with if the share price is higher or lower. The question is, am I able to convert basically the values and the assets in the economy into real output, and who is benefiting of that? In a cooperative, it's the members, and it's a secondary benefit. It's not a primary benefit. That is basically the approach of that we are favoring, of course.
It's actually. The more that you guys talk, the more that one sort of realizes how complex of an issue, you know, something like this is. The solution itself and the model itself seems quite simple in terms of concept and actually getting people to, I guess, come together, club their resources, move forward. But the engagement, you know, that you're talking about, the knowledge sharing, the, you know, getting the mandate, you know, so that you can actually go out and, you know, do this type of work on behalf of the small businesses, engage with private sector, whatever that needs to be done, that part, you know, sounds like, you know, that's where, you know, the real rubber hits the road in terms of difficulty over there. So where I want to end off, and I'm posing this one to both of you gentlemen, is to say, let's we want to peer into a crystal ball, an imaginary crystal ball for a moment, and say, okay, let's look at the glass half full. Let's go, you know, and say there's a positive engagement on the 9th of this month. You meet with the department, you meet with the deputy minister, and then, you know, you see positive response, and, you know, perhaps the machinery starts working for you guys to get the mandate that you're looking for. Once you have the mandate, and I think this is quite important for people to understand, is to say, once you have the mandate in place, right, what type of things are you now able to do? I think you alluded a little bit to it earlier on, but once that's in place, what type of assistance, help, or, you know, or engagement can you now start having with the farmers that you spoke about earlier on, or any other industry, or, you know, small businesses, you know, that are out there? Manfred, I think we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, good question. What we have done in the past and what we would like to do in the future is, with that mandate, we would like to do model or specimen cooperatives. We would like to go out there to speak to representative kind of communities, of industries, of trades. And with these in mind, we would like to create local projects. These local projects, we would like to uplift to exactly that level that we have described before. And by doing so, we want to document basically this intellectual property that we are gathering in the sense. And this intellectual property should be open source for further economic development in the rest of the country in a cellular form. The best is to describe it is a cellular network with the cell phone networks. It's also not working with one cell for the whole country. It only works with multiple cells in one city. So we are talking about making this much more sustainable, the South African economy much more sustainable by, first of all, developing exactly that intellectual property, possibly filtering this into academic training and into academic know-how, and then multiplying it in a cellular form. That is basically our way forward, our roadmap. And we definitely have support from international sources where we can tap into if we get the necessary, at least moral support or political support from the institutions in order to form these cooperatives, these associations, whatever the case may be.
Mbulelo, you have the last word on this discussion.
Again, I'm calling on government, in particular small business department. I'm calling for the support of our government. We are assisting here our government. So this government must come on board. If we can get, you know, the mandate or partnerships with all these aligned relevant departments, it's going to be easy to do all these things that Manfred and I are talking about here. And therefore, I would end by saying, please, I'm pleading with government to come on board and assist us as well. Thank you.
All right. So that's where we end off today's discussion. It has been great, you know, understanding a different flavor of, you know, the small business discussion, you know, in South Africa, the idea that cooperatives could actually help the small business sector to move forward. And, you know, because we say that small businesses are an engine of growth and, you know, possibly a big employer in the economy, getting the model right on that end could help us on a macro level to actually push past that, you know, 1 or 0.5% type of growth rate that we've been seeing, you know, in the economy. Really good to, you know, sort of see some of the examples from other parts of the world. In essence, we're talking about businesses that come together under collective structures so that they can move forward, you know, when it comes to, you know, funding aspects, you know, supply chains, marketing, and, you know, those types of things. Because as a small player, there's only so much power you have in the market. But as a collective, there's a lot more that you can move together. And we had the European examples, but it's really been great to then see and hear that there are a lot of local examples. But the key is to actually take that model and actually make it a blueprint that, you know, the small business sector in South Africa can actually just use as a model going forward. We see pockets of it, but I think what the team at Xsource is, you know, advocating for is to say this is something that could work not only, you know, for places, you know, like the taxi industry or the spaza shops that we're talking about, but across farming, agriculture, the financial services sector, so many different opportunities, you know, that exist there. But at the same time, you know, sort of getting into the discussion around where some of the stumbling blocks are, where some of the knowledge gaps are, and what it's going to take to actually move the needle when it comes to political will. That's how we end off. It has been a great discussion. We were talking to the team, you know, from Xsource, that is Mbulelo Singapi, as well as Manfred Hentemeyer. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
It was our pleasure.
It has been a wonderful discussion. Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.